B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
Noontime hour here on Zulak and Bertrand. 617-779-0985. Zul will be back next week. You can enjoy this with him then.
So you're gone all week.
Yeah. Have fun with that.
And then the week after that? Camp starts.
Yep. Later in that week, though, right? Wednesday? Thursday? What day does it start?
They report Wednesday. First practice is Thursday.
Oh, yeah, Thursday. It starts Thursday of that week.
Less than 2 weeks.
Okay. There you go. Be there. Do the camp thing. Tweets from training camp.
I got to get down there with you this year.
Yes, you do. Absolutely.
Can we do that?
Should.
Everybody on board with that?
I am.
Is that okay?
Talk to the boss.
Okay.
We were in the infancy of our TV stuff when we were there last year.
Easier and better
clip
for
it. Fell off the thing and smacked Zoe in the face.
Oh, that's right. Absolutely right. You're right about that. 617-779-0985. We started off the day talking about David Segui, who never played for the Red Sox, believe it or not. Jim had me convinced that he did. He didn't. David Segui is a proponent of steroids in baseball. He's pushing for steroids in baseball, wondering why players are still being demonized for PEDs in the game. Wondering why the league is so quick to publicly out players who are caught using PEDs. Wondering why there are privacy rules for players who are caught with recreational drugs, such as weed, crack, or heroin. Saying that those players are protected and has a right to privacy, while players who are taking PEDs for healing and benefiting their body to become a better athlete or player are then portrayed as evil. He wants to have those answers, and he has admitted to taking steroids. He's admitted to taking human growth hormone and anabolic steroids. He was in the Mitchell report, and he spoke to Bob Nightingale of USA Today, saying he does not fault players who are still using PEDs, and said people talk about morality. When has morality been a part of professional sports? When has morality been a part of baseball? Find me the era. This doesn't take away from the game. Tell me one sport that's clean. Do I think we have a responsibility to be good humans and citizens? Absolutely. But when I die and they say at the pearly gates that the worst thing I did was take medicine to be stronger and faster and be a better ball player, I like my chances.
I like that he calls it medicine.
Medicine.
But HGH is medicine when properly prescribed and applied. HGH is the one that really bugs me. When guys are popped for it, when they are rehabbing injuries, like get prescribed HGH as a means of like actual rehab. Where do you draw the line? Not only between drugs, for whether it's a performance enhancer or an anti-inflammatory, whether it's speed or it's caffeine. You know, it's like there are no clear-cut lines except in sports where they say, you can take this one, but not that one. You can take this one, but not that one. And in the case of HGH and a lot of things along these lines, even steroids, it's like, as long as you're not playing a sport, you would get prescribed this and you're able to use this as a means to get healthier again.
David Segui broke into the majors at the age of 23, and his major league career came to an end at the age of 37. He played 15 seasons in the major leagues. Started out in Baltimore and actually ended in Baltimore. 4 years at the start of his career in Baltimore, 4 years at the end. Do you know what the most amount of home runs he hit in a season was? 21. Mm. He hit 20 home runs once. He hit more than 15 home runs in a season three times.
This doesn't feel like an abusive PED guy.
Well, he may have been an abusive PED guy, but he wasn't this ridiculous, over-the-top 70 home run guy like McGuire or, you know, the Bonds, Sosa, McGuire department of PEDs, right?
Right.
He didn't have a size 8.5 hat. Or maybe he did. He had a huge head. But it just remains that just because you don't hit 65 home runs doesn't mean you weren't on something. That the numbers don't necessarily correlate to your usage of PEDs.
Nope. And the further problem is the way he describes it and lays it out, it's all very reasonable and a common sense-like approach to using these substances, these medicines, as he calls them. Not everybody is going to take such a common sense approach. Other guys are going to use it the way that Bonds, McGuire, and Sosa and those guys did as a means to just get absolutely jacked and hit as many home runs as possible. And a ton of people don't have a problem with that either. And if you extrapolate what he's saying out to its nth degree, he doesn't really have a problem with that either. You're just trying to play the game better. You're just doing everything you can. Get your body bigger. Get healthier. Get stronger. Recover quicker. What are we doing here? He makes a lot of sense the way he lays it out. It's still going to be looked upon as cheating by some people. I just think the lines have blurred so much now between what is legal and what isn't legal, and common sense seems to be lacking in a lot of the substances that are either okay and the ones that aren't okay. You know, do you have to go across the board and just legalize everything? Or do you allow for a certain amount for guys who are recovering? And guys, if you can make a case that you need this, well, more guys than not are going to be making a case. But let them make a case, you know? Have somebody
certain allowable levels.
Yes.
You shouldn't be abusing it, but certain allowable levels, Hardy. The certain allowed levels may be adjusted.
By the way.
Might be the solution to this. But here's my point on this. The steroid era. We always thought it was about the home runs. I don't know. We've got more home runs ever than ever before about to be hit in Major League Baseball this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think home runs just solve the problem anymore.
No, not when everybody's anymore.
I get that we don't have a home run chase. We don't have 1998 on our hands. We don't have two guys chasing a record. Mm-hmm. We don't have that group, that half a dozen or so players that are up in that 50 or 60 home run range. We don't have that going on. And maybe that would feel a little different. But it just doesn't feel like home runs by themselves are the solution. It feels like there's got to be more to it this time around to really get people engaged and really caring about the entire sport again. It's got to be more to it this time.
Got to have more than just the entire league hitting more home runs. You need that drama. You need the drama of a chase. You need a few guys standing out. And you know, to me, that would be something that people get excited about when just everybody raises a certain little bit. It's not compelling. There's not much of a story there. There's a story, but how do you tell it? Oh, in the year 2019, everybody hit a few more home runs than they did the year before. It's not a great story. Where's the story in it?
Yeah, David Segee also has a guess as to how many guys in the sport now are still using. He puts a percentage on it. I've put a percentage on it in years past. 98.5%. It's really my NFL percentage, but I've used it for baseball as well. 98.5%. I think it's probably lower than that now. NFL percentage of guys using 98.5%. What's the percentage in baseball? David Segee shared his percentage. We'll tell you what it is next. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Solak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. Let's go to your phones after I tell you this. David Segee has a percentage. A percentage of guys he believes are using PEDs in baseball right now. 60% is his number. He says, quote, I would say 60% of the guys today easily are doing stuff. It reminds me of the era when everyone talked about the balls being juiced. The balls weren't juiced. The players were juiced, just like now. So he's heard all the talk about the balls being juiced. And he actually made these comments going back a few days before everything came out with Verlander. Before the juiced ball talk sort of exploded in the last few days. He said this before this happened. He said, yeah, it reminds me. I remember this. This conversation had happened before. The ball is juiced. The ball is juiced. He said, yeah, the ball's not juiced. The players are juiced. And he thinks it's happening again. He thinks that's what's going on. They're just finding a way to beat the testing. 617-779-0985, the phone number. Let's go to your calls, both the Celtics stuff, NBA stuff, and baseball. Anthony in Hanson. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to talk about the steroids and stuff. You guys are talking about how, like, weed's on, like, a different pedestal than, like, HGH and, like, all, like, the steroids and stuff like that.
Yeah, David Segee said that weed, he used the example of weed, heroin, and crack are three things that in Major League Baseball, they keep it private, but when you take PEDs, they make it public. That's what he was talking about.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like that for, like, weed doesn't help you out in that sport, you know? Like, it, you know, like what I'm saying, like, steroids help you, and weed doesn't. So I think that's why it's on, like, a different pedestal, you know?
Obviously, you know, the difference being that PEDs are directly related to the job.
Right.
Related to what you do on the field. And his case is, yes, that's the only reason that we take them. We're taking them not out of, you know, personal enjoyment, not for recreational purposes. You know, we're not doing it for kicks. We're doing it because we want to be better at what we do professionally. We want to be a better baseball player, not because we want to get high and have a good time. We're doing it because we want to hit the gym or heal from an injury or any of those things. That's what it's about, and that's his case. I'm just restating what his case is.
So when it comes to using any kind of, and believe me, there's all kinds of conversations about what is cannabis, what is hemp, what is CBD, what is THC, all that stuff. But there's more and more use of, let's just leave it to hemp for right now, use of that in sports. And we talked earlier, Beetle, about how golfers are starting to use this now, and we've seen guys not only use it, but actually starting to endorse it. And the PGA Tour, which is notoriously conservative about this stuff, they're not sure how to handle a lot of it. It was Tom Van Haren who wrote about this like just earlier this week. He said, you know, guys are coming into the locker room and they're seeing, like, you know, the giveaways that, you know, they put in the cubbies at PGA Tour events. And Scott McCarron got a bottle of CBD oil pills.
Nice.
Right? He's like,
those aren't cheap, you know, if you get good ones.
What is this? He goes, and he looked into it and he says, all right, it's from a hemp plant. There's nothing banned here. Tour says it isn't banned. I'm like, well, what's it going to help me with? So these guys are all, you know, getting more and more in tune with their bodies and sleep cycles. He says, I went and tried it. About 2 weeks later, went home, measured my sleep with the device. And he says, since he started using the CBD oil, his sleep is in the green area for 7 straight days, and he never gets, you know, green sleep. He's getting it, like, every night now and feels great. And this is allowed. The problem that they're having with it is it's not controlled enough to the point where they don't know for sure from batch to batch if you're getting any THC versus the CBD and all this other stuff.
Depends on where you're buying it from.
But my point is this. And again, that's why these manufacturers...
I like the gummies.
When they tell these guys, it's like, ours is very much controlled. You're not going to get popped for anything. Don't worry about it. But, okay, so helping them sleep better. How could that possibly be construed as a performance enhancer? Well, any trainer or anybody who's into any kind of, you know, fitness and physical exertion is going to tell you that the most important thing you're going to need is rest and recovery time. And sleep is a major component in any kind of diet or physical, physical regime or anything like that. It isn't something that helps you sleep. Can't you make the case that that's a performance enhancer too?
Sure.
And I'm not saying they should ban this stuff. I'm saying,
of course not.
Why do you draw the line? Why do you draw the line at, you know, tissue regeneration or muscle regeneration or something that helps you sleep? Oh, that's fine. Is it? I mean, rest is part of this whole process.
You know, David Segee says weed. Does baseball have an anti-weed policy? Can you not smoke weed in baseball? I don't ever remember anyone getting suspended for that. Like the NBA, they don't test for that anymore. They got the genius idea of, why are we testing? Wait, we have weed suspensions? Let's stop testing for that. This is stupid. They were way ahead of that. The NFL just continues to test for it, which makes no sense whatsoever. Because that league, as we know, bunch of old dum-dums. I mean, forget that. It'll be years before those idiots catch up. I don't know if MLB has a rule against it. What are the? I've never thought of that. Do you ever remember a major league player getting tested for weed?
No. Nope. Well, no. I don't remember anybody getting popped for it or talking about a test for it.
Give me a moment. I'll look it up.
All right.
It's different between major league and minor league players because of the unions. Minor leaguers can get popped for it. I don't think major leaguers can.
Good. They should.
They're not as tested as often.
Why would they test for that at all? Wyatt is on the line in Somerville. He's got something on Taco.
Uh-oh.
How you guys doing? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
Hey, so two quick things. I think, Taco cannot play. He's not quick enough. As a positional player in the NBA, he's not quick enough and he doesn't have a perimeter shot. So until he gets that, it's kind of out of the question. But I do think it's worth keeping him on the roster for situational reasons at the end of the game. Stick him in front of an inbounder or in front of the rim to prevent a last-minute alley-oop pass. I mean, that's something that can win you a game. And if compared to a guy who's just going to sit there and not play as some sort of random shooting guard, I think it's worth it. And then my other thought is on Williams and how, you know, he's going to have to defend Embiid and Giannis this year. And, we are really big-time gambling on him. Cantor's an offensive guy. I really don't see him as being much of an impact. But those are my two thoughts. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Right. The one about Taco being kept on the bench for special plays, I wouldn't take up the roster spot even for that. I wouldn't even do it for that. If you could play, you can play and you make the team. If you can't,
this is a special teams guy.
You go to Portland.
No, if you can be on the roster as a guy that can develop in the future and they can maybe use him for a couple times a game, then yeah, being the 12th guy doesn't matter.
This is the season to do it. Why not?
No, Hardy is right about that, and he's brought that up multiple times here in the last few days. Hardy said, well, you've got this particular season. Why not?
I mean,
sound worse than they are for the Celtics. Like, the Celtics are
that position.
Like, they're tanking this year or something.
At that position, they might need 2 minutes here and there.
They're not going to tank, but they're not going to win the East either. So why not try a few things out?
The guy can run the floor. I'll tell you that. He can get up and down that floor. I was shocked to see him running the floor.
Long stride.
He's more athletic than I thought he would be for his size.
He's not like that skinny 7'7", nope. Like Manute Bol, Sean Bradley type.
He's still skinny, but you're right. He's not Manute Bol by any means.
Special teams guy. The other part, though, about
he's not even Tayshaun
Robert
Prince
Williams.
Skinny. I mean,
the Celtics need Robert Williams to play to the expectation that the Celtics have for him when they drafted
him.
That he was going to be a good player.
That's the one
they're hosed if he doesn't.
That's the one you
they're
focus
in trouble
in.
If he doesn't.
That's the guy you got to. If you want to focus in on one guy, like it's going to make a difference for this season, focus in on Robert Williams and have fun with the other guys.
He's the only guy with any size that has any hope of playing well defensively. They got nobody else.
You
Who else is there?
48 minutes out of the center position, and if Jason Tatum starts at power forward and can play 30 minutes at that position per game, then you need another 18 minutes. So you're talking about between 60 and 70 minutes you need per game out of those guys that
okay,
we just talked about.
You're going to need significant minutes from Robert Williams.
So if Cantor can play 25 to 30,
and
then
he
you need another 30 to 40.
Defensively, he is useless. That's, again, why I say you got to score 140 a night to win games if you're the Celtics, because Cantor defensively is a problem.
Tice will give you 10 to 15. If Williams
can give
you 20.
That's true. I always forget about Tice because he was hurt.
Grant Williams maybe can give you a couple. Who knows how he develops?
We like poked fun at Tice last year. He's a factor on this team. Tice is a factor. I don't know if I'm going to compare
him. Now, if Tatum doesn't work out at power forward, then there's huge problems on this team.
They'll be calling him, you know, Bill Russell on the Comcast, NBC Sports Boston broadcast. Tice will be Russell by the second week of the season. I can call it now. 617-779-0985. Here is Hardy with the headlines.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Weed policies in both major leagues and minor leagues, a little bit different. But in the major leagues, you need probable cause to go after a major league player. And then if you get bagged, you go over the allowable level, $35,000 fine. It's a good policy.
It's not bad.
So probable cause, what? You got to get arrested? You got to have some sort of, you know, weed bust of some sort? caught driving down the highway with a suitcase full of weed? What is it? What has to happen for that? It just tells you.
They put
some policy, some bogus policy on the book to say, we have a policy against that, when in actuality they don't. They don't care about that.
Got to get caught listening to the widespread panic channel on Pandora? How's it work?
That's what it is. So they just want to basically stay out of that weed game. Good call on their part. Good call on the part of baseball. Much like basketball. Stay out of that mess. We're not doing this. What are we wasting our time on this for? No, we're not demonizing anybody. So David Segee should drop that part of his claim that they're demonizing anybody for weed. He's got that part wrong.
The demonizing of crack cocaine, though, he makes a point there. That's frowned upon.
Well, is it, though? Because the 80s in baseball...
Not crack. Shouldn't it be?
A lot of cocaine in baseball in the 80s, though. A lot of it going on. I mean, in the dugouts.
Hell.
Right?
Everybody was doing it. You've seen Blow?
I know. There's a lot of cocaine in this world.
And a lot of it came from a man who grew up not far from here. You have him to thank for it.
Sebastian?
No, Carl. What was his name? George. George Young.
Oh, yeah, George.
Sebastian is you're thinking of the author.
Oh, yeah, who wrote the book, right?
No, Sebastian Young or Younger, the guy who wrote The Perfect Storm. Is that what you're thinking of?
No, I don't know.
Let's find out.
Look
now,
that up.
Now, stream of consciousness.
Yeah, something. Let's go to Mike, who knows something about testing for weed. Yes, Mike.
Yep, I nailed it.
Sebastian, hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing? Happy Friday.
George Younger?
George Young was the guy from Blow.
George Young. Okay, yeah.
Sebastian Younger is the guy who wrote A Perfect Storm.
Right, okay.
From Weymouth. I think he's from Weymouth.
He is from Weymouth. The guy from Blow is from Weymouth.
And Sebastian's from Belmont.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, got that covered.
Local guys, yep.
A couple local guys. I know the biggest guy that got popped down there for weed was Alex Reyes at the time. He was, like number one pitching prospect, and he got popped for weed, and... ruined his whole minor league season. Took almost the whole season away from him. So I think Yahoo did an article on it. But it was kind of silly, though. You know, it's just weed, really.
It's just weed. But,
it is.
It's silly.
Nobody has a problem
with it. Why are we testing for that? Why is any professional league testing for that? Why is the NFL still testing for that? Waste of time. Mark and Warren. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. So I know I'm in the minority on this, but... And I know most of you guys at the station are all about, you know, PEDs, and you're like, oh, yeah, let everybody take them. But honestly, I find zero need for it. If I'm paying good money to go to a game, I want to see people that are actually talented, not people that are a product of something else. Like, I don't know, to compare it, it's like going to a concert and watching the whole thing and then finding out the whole thing was all, you know, pre-recorded. Like, that sucks. Like, pay as much money as you're paying. I want to see people actually, you know, talented.
Mark, I've never in my lifetime watched a clean game.
No, I know we really haven't.
I never have. I've never watched a professional sporting event with clean athletes all the way across the board. I haven't. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know what it looks like.
Hope for that, you know, it would be nice to go there and see people that are actually talented, not, you know, somebody that you could go watch in the rec league softball game all right without hitting home runs.
Okay. But I'm just telling you that in my lifetime, probably in yours too, Hardy, I've never watched a professional sporting event that isn't tainted in some way in any league.
Here's my problem.
You can't tell me I have.
He says he'd rather watch guys. Okay, where do you draw the line then? Are they allowed to have coffee? Are they allowed to do this?
Okay, let me draw a line. Anabolic steroids or human growth hormone. In that category of PEDs.
Just those things, two things?
Things that are currently listed on the anti-doping list for the Olympics or for Major League Baseball.
Okay.
Things that qualify on those lists. Or the NFL, which lists all of the different variants of steroids or masking agents or growth hormones. Those types of drugs. Okay? Not the other sort of side items that you want to introduce. Just those items.
Okay. So, in our lifetimes, we've never watched a football game without one of those.
Those are out.
Baseball game out. Basketball?
I doubt it that you've seen a game where every player in that game is 100% wholesome.
When's the last time someone got popped in basketball?
Never. It's great. They hide it so well. They're doing a hell of a job in that sport.
Hockey. There's a chance. There's a chance that we've watched a completely clean hockey game.
Really?
Sure.
I doubt it there, too.
There's a chance.
I don't know.
I'd give hockey the best.
There are too many guys playing in a hockey game.
Even if you go back to the 90s, do you consider Sudafed?
No, we're keeping it to HGH and anabolic steroids.
Yeah, we're keeping it to the list of the actual.
Because, Jim, it's a great point.
Sudafed is banned now, but I'm talking about the growth hormones, and we're talking about real chemically enhanced laboratory type of, you know.
Definitely not NHL, because the guy's coming from Russia and different countries. Yeah,
thank you.
Definitely not.
No, and in the 90s, across the board, before they had really cracked down, sorry. Nope.
Yeah, think about the Olympics back then.
Dirty as hell.
Other countries are way dirtier than the United States.
You know, the most glorious thing about USA versus Russia in 1980, which doesn't really get talked about, is
so
how filthy do you think the Russians were in 1980? How jacked up do you think the Russians were with their history of doping in those 1980 Olympics at Lake Placid?
Filthy.
And I really don't think the Americans were up to anything yet. They were kids.
Yeah. But it's a great point to
and you know Tretiak was like, you know, sticking the needle in his leg before every, you know, he'd go to get the steroids.
But to counter the caller's point who says, I'd rather just watch a clean game. And just, how do you know? How do you know that's what you prefer?
I've never seen it.
I've never seen it
in my lifetime. I've never seen it. I don't even know what that looks like. I don't even know. I don't even know if I care for it.
I would say go to a high school game, but maybe go to a middle school game. You'll see it.
What's the point of that?
Creep.
What's the point?
I don't know. I can't guarantee high school is going to be clean.
I mean, listen, I think everyone does it. Like in the NFL, everyone's on the stuff. It's a level playing field, and the product is great. If it's all level, what does it matter? That's how I look at it. And then when you go overboard, like, you know, Julian Edelman, when you get caught, you got to serve a little ban. You got to go away for a little bit. Hey,
you do your time like a man. You didn't rat anybody out.
You went a little overboard. You went too much.
But that sucked for Edelman, too.
Too much. You broke the rules. You did a little too much.
Frank didn't talk to him for 80 days.
Yeah, Frank was pissed. 81 days they went without speaking. And by the way, I thought the way it was handled in the documentary was great. Did Edelman deny anything in that documentary? Nope. He didn't deny a thing.
All right.
In fact, it sort of hints at him accepting some sort of responsibility for the four-game ban, which nobody blames him for. In fact, he came back and was healthy and used it to get healthy, which I think everyone looks at and says, see? Look at that. He used it to heal. He used it as medicine, as David Segui suggests.
I just went back. Like, you remember the East Germany, West Germany, like those Olympic teams? I just quickly Googled it. It just says they started doping system in the 1960s.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They were early adopters. Edelman used it as medicine, Hardy.
I believe that he did.
Medicine. The best guy ever, and he gets ripped around here all the time for it. Oh, Peyton Manning, HGH. That guy is the best example of anyone who deserved to be allowed to use HGH ever.
Edelman was coming back from an injury. I mean, this is what anyone else would be prescribed. You think Edelman was doing it to be somehow better than he was before, or was he trying to get healthy?
Trying to get healthy.
He's trying to get back to where he was.
Right.
To me, that's medicine.
Right. If he wasn't an NFL player and he was in that position, he had shredded his whole knee apart like that, and he was Rob Poole, just wanted to get his knee back together and wanted to go out and be able to golf again. And his doctor said, you know, maybe you should think about trying some HGH to help the healing process.
Mm.
Would you do it? Of course you would. You'd say absolutely.
Can you throw an Adderall prescription in there too?
What else you got for me, Doc?
Yeah, help me focus.
Give me whatever you can give me. Medicine. Yeah. That's what it is. Modern medicine. Full lines. We'll get back to your calls next.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let's go to the phones. I'm looking at this subject line on line two, Hardy. That is just right in front of our face. That there's a code word for Russian PEDs. Andrew in the car. Andrew.
Yeah, if you look it up, and they still do it in the KHL. It's anarchy over there. It's called Russian gas, and I don't even think the Russians know what the hell it is. It's just a bunch of whatever it is, and they give it to these guys, and it makes them go nuts. And then my second point is that guy called earlier.
How do you take it? How is it ingested?
Oh, so I've heard IV, but then again, I don't know guys who go and play in the KHL, but I've listened to podcasts that talk about guys who come back and go, they just go, whether it's IV or a sniff, whatever they do, and it makes them just go absolutely nuts. Then quickly before I get off, I'll let you guys talk. The caller called earlier. I got one thing to say to that guy who wants to watch a clean game. What a nerd.
Yeah.
Hang up. What a nerd.
But on the gas, that is a commonly used phrase.
Yeah, no, gas, but it's, you know,
Russian gas.
That in hockey, it's a term they call, you know, you take the Russian gas, which is, you just, but it's a cocktail.
Oh, my God. Dosti.
Yeah.
Asatsky.
That's not Russian. That's not Russian.
I can't remember what that was.
That was the board game.
Dostihi. Asatsky.
Pastrnak's.
Pastrnak's board game.
Right, about Monopoly with horses.
Monopoly.
Monopoly for horses.
I found a Reddit thread. What the hell is Russian gas? Hey, all. Pardon my ignorance, but what the hell is this hockey term, Russian gas? I've heard it mainly used on Spittin' Chicklets and other hockey podcasts. Any clue where it comes from and what it means? Thanks. Here's the answer from BC Eagle 13. Ready?
The guy who just called.
Who's the guy who just called us?
Yeah.
When players play in Russia in the KHL, word is that teams over there give the players an IV. of an unknown substance between periods that makes you feel great and play better. Ryan Whitney played over in Russia for a season. So Ryan Whitney has probably talked about this on Spittin' Chiclets.
Yes, there is an article up on the Players Tribune from him about this.
About Russian gas.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else commented that numerous guests have also confirmed their own experience in the locker room with Russian gas when playing in the KHL that have lent more credence to it. So sketchy, so Russian. Thanks for the info. Russian gas. The Russians. Oh, man.
Actually,
that's not Russian.
Whitney's article is just about writing in
Russian. We have a graphic with a Russian flag that says Russian gas.
Unbelievable. Whitney writes about his time in 2013 playing in Russia. And he says, you know, it was weird.
Can we get like an old Soviet Union flag for that? For the Russian gas?
The hammer and sickle.
The hammer and sickle. Yeah.
He said it was his first experience in a strong smoking culture. As a young guy coming up in the NHL, you always hear stories from the 70s and 80s about guys taking smoke breaks and eating cheeseburgers in periods.
Yeah.
He goes, in Russia, the smoking era is still in full effect. On the team plane, every single one of our coaches were chain smoking through the duration of the flight. I don't have to read this at my leisure, but yeah, there's good stuff.
The Russian gas. Mitch and Spencer. Mitch.
Hey, I just wanted a couple of things on the PEDs in sports and also Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
One, PEDs overall, I think the best way to manage it and make sure it was an even game, because you're never going to get the sport clean no matter what you do. But if you decide to make a specific dosage for every player to take at any given position or just in general, then you found a way to regulate it so everyone's on the same plane. That's the only way you're ever going to pull that off. That's just it. There's no other way to do it.
Can you do it by weight? I mean, there's some guys who are going to want a little bit more. It's like, you know, why should an offensive lineman get the same amount that Edelman gets? You know, doesn't he deserve a little bit more? Can we do it by weight or height?
Well, yeah. I mean, you would just...
But what you're saying is basically, you're calling for regulation, usage, but with regulation across sports.
Everybody gets their Soylent Green. Got it. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Regulate.
All right.
Regulate, mount up. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Wants to regulate it. Because you're not going to clean it up. And he's right. That part is true. You're never going to clean it up. When have they ever cleaned it up? As I've said.
In any sport.
I've never seen a clean professional sports event in my lifetime. Never seen it. At least I don't believe I have.
Of the four majors.
Of the four major sports. Well, what other sports are clean?
Ultimate Frisbee has a long honored tradition of playing the game clean.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.